Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter, and I want to thank you for listening to the show today. It is a great day. It's Friday. It's cooled off a little bit. The weekend's here. Oh, it is so nice. I sat outside on my porch reading God's Word this morning, reading my Oswald Chambers, and it just was wonderfully pleasant, just wonderfully pleasant. And, you know, God created this earth as a relational and physical paradise, a relational and physical paradise. And it's mornings like today that I think this is what it's going to be like when he brings it all back. Because, by the way, I hope you recognize that he is bringing heaven back to earth for eternity. When he closes the curtain on this age, it's coming back here, and it's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be like a morning like this morning. Just fabulous. Hey, I am excited about today's show. We're going to talk about Superman and superpowers. I think you'll enjoy it, but first, let me just ask you, if you're driving down the road, listening on the radio, just try to slow up a bit or take a deep breath and block out those distractions all around you and listen, because I think we've really got some good stuff to talk about, what is God saying to our hearts. And if you're listening online, I know you got a list of things to do. I know you got a lot going on. If you can, block that out. This is good stuff, and God wants to speak to our hearts. He's always ready to speak to our hearts if our hearts are ready. We're going to get to the show in just a minute. I want to thank our sponsors for today's show, Spencer Hines Properties. Ben Hines and Lynn Spencer are good friends of mine, and they are solid as a rock. Their company, all the guys over there that I know most of them, and they are all solid believers, and they seek to do the right thing by their clients. And if you see a Spencer Hines sign on a property, you can feel good about the names behind it. And if you're looking for commercial or investment property, check them out. Lynn Spencer, Ben Hines at Spencer Hines Properties. That's 583-1001. Of course, 864-583-1001. And they have a website, SpencerHines.com. That's H-I-N-E-S, SpencerHines.com. They are very, very professional in their commercial and investment property real estate. Great guys. And also Spartan Business Systems. Both of these are in Spartanburg, South Carolina, but they go all the way across the upstate. We'll talk more about them later. 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. And our website is 721ministries.org. That's the numbers, 721ministries.org. We've got a lot of things, a lot of resources on that website. You can go to the Putting Green. You'll get a write-up and a recap of what we're going to talk about today. And there's plenty more articles on that Putting Green, which is just a link off the website. Check it out. You'll see some video on it. 721 comes from Jesus' words in Matthew 7:21, 22, and 23, where he says, don't line up in front of me and start telling me about all the things you've done, all your church activities, all your good community work. That's all fine, but that isn't the ticket into heaven. That is not salvation. Do we know each other? Do you know me? And more importantly, do I know you? Have you ever taken the time to get to know me? Please don't be someone that has that kind of disappointing surprise, that shock when Jesus says, away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. You don't want to be that. I don't want you to be that. Jesus is a great God, and he's got so much for us. And I want to talk about that today. I'm going to start off with Superman. Do you remember when Christopher Reeves, that movie Superman, came out back in 1978? I was in college. It was the summer of 78. And a group of my friends, a bunch of us knuckleheads, we all went to see the movie together. And we were blown away by the special effects. Now, it probably would look silly today, but it was so cool. At one point, Superman's flying along, and he drops his left shoulder, and he eases off to the left in this big intercontinental super swoop, and we were just all just going crazy. It was so good. Could there be a better superhero? I mean, Superman's got it all. Batman's great, but he's still a mere human. Spider-Man, Iron Man, Green Lantern, Captain America. Yeah, they're all great. They're tough, sure, but come on. Superman. One holiday, I dressed up as Superman, and boy, was I on top of the world. I was ready to conquer all the bad guys. That is, until the flimsy band on my mask broke about 5 minutes into the night, and then the cape wouldn't stay on, much less would it flow behind me as I was running along trying to act like I was flying at breakneck speed. It was a little bit of a disappointment, but think about that, Superman and his superpowers. Which would you like to have? I mean, wouldn't it be great to have one of those? I think it's fun just to kind of think about it. Flying, super strength, super hearing, X-ray vision. How about reading minds? I'd be curious to see a poll on how people would line up on that. You know, Jerry Seinfeld, who loves Superman, I'm sure he'd have an opinion on that. When I was younger, I would have automatically said flying would be what I would want. Oh, I'd love to be able to fly. How great would that be, soaring around in the sky? And, of course, if I had super strength, I'd have been an even better athlete, and I'd have been really cool with the girls. But as I season through life, I more and more recognize the extraordinary value in being able to see things clearly and see them accurately. So maybe for me, it's now more x-ray vision, but in the sense of discernment, of clarity, of a spiritual vision. You see, you might think, if you're like me, you might think that you see things so clearly and that you see things the way they really are. You've got it figured out, certainly better than most other people. And I used to think that way. And I think, you know, if you could only see it the way I see it, you'd understand. And then you'd agree with me. Now, though, I'm not so self-assured about that. What I'm now realizing is that my vision is clouded. It's clouded with prejudice. It's clouded with preconceived notions, with self-serving inclinations. But it's mostly clouded by the fact that I'm just not that smart. You know, I mean, my own brain power? I don't want that. I've had that for a long time. I've used that. And don't get me wrong. I graduated cum laude in engineering. I'm no dummy. But in life, using my brain power for things that are of spiritual and internal and what really matters. See, if we do that, if you do that and I do that on our own, you know, we might muster up a C, maybe a C+ at best. You know, when I'm working on things like the radio show or on the putting green or on sermons or talks, I always catch myself and stop and say, Lord, you've got to help me with this. I don't want this to come out of my brain. Now, I want you to use my brain and I want you to use what you've given me, but I don't want it to be me. I want it to be of you. I want to see things through your eyes, through my brain power, through my vision, clouded as it is. Maybe I get a C or C+ at best. But the more I seek to see through the light of Jesus and the perspective that Jesus has on life, and as he tried to tell us and illuminate for us, the more I begin to truly see, the more I can actually tell what is reality and what isn't. The more I can filter out the fog of this culture, of all the nonsense and darkness that is in this world and in my life, apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from God, I can start to see. Jesus tried to tell me that a long time ago. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world, and he does shine the light on our lives. And when we follow him, we don't walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. Jesus said that. You know, Van Morrison, the singer, who, by the way, if you listen at the very end of the show, that in the closing credits, that this is the song that we play whenever God shines his light on me. Van Morrison said, whenever God shines his light on me, he opens up my eyes so I can see. You see, I don't want to wander around in the darkness anymore. I don't want to trust my limited vision, my self-deluded heart. On my own, I think the best I can see is through a dim mirror. You know, Paul talks about that. God moves Paul to talk about that and write about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, towards the end of what we call the love chapter. And picking up in verse 11, and I'm reading from the Revised Standard. I like that. I like the way it's worded in this particular translation. Most of my quotes come from the NIV, but it starts off verse 11. It's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood, and now I have put away the childish things. Verse 12, in the same way, we can see and understand only a little about God now, as if we were peering at his reflection in a poor mirror. But someday, we're going to see him in his completeness, face to face. Now all that I know is hazy and blurred, but then I will see everything clearly, just as clearly as God sees into my heart right now. Isn't that beautiful? You know, one day I'm going to really see God. I'm going to really see Jesus. I think it's going to blow my hair off when I do. You know, I think it's going to singe everything on me. I'm going to fall prostrate and say, you are it, you are it, you are it. I didn't know. I didn't realize how powerful you are. But even now in this life, I can see things more clearly when I have God's eyes, when I'm looking through the prism of Jesus' eyes and Jesus' teachings. See, I want to see with his eyes. I want to see with his super-duper x-ray vision. Now, that's clarity. I want to see. I want to discern. I want to know the truth, that truth that Jesus said would set me free. And see, I can't get there with my human 20/20. I can't do it. I want to see through His eyes. I want to have my vision cleared up, blowing away the fog so I can see what He has for me to see. I can't get there without the Holy Spirit indwelling in me. I can't get there without the Holy Spirit inside. And of course, there is only one way to have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and that is by surrendering our lives to Jesus as our Savior. You know, I'll hear folks, and I know I've said it in the past, I committed my life to Christ. Well, you really don't commit your life to Christ at the very outset. You surrender your life to Christ as your Savior. And then, as you move along in that relationship, as you journey on in your spiritual journey, then you more and more commit things and areas of your life, and He becomes more and more your Lord. But at the very outset, you are surrendering. And that is the way the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. Without it, well, listen to what God said through Paul again in 1 Corinthians in the first chapter. I'm going to start at verse 18, then I'm going to skip over to the second chapter, starting at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Think about that word, the power of God. Superman, power, superpowers. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Now, let me just take a break before I go to chapter 2 on that. Paul was a smart guy. He was as smart as they come. I mean, I'm sure when Peter and John and James saw him coming, they thought, you know, he's just a little out of our league. You know, he just wears me out. He's so smart. I need, he's too brilliant. Because he was, and there's no doubt God intended to use his brilliance. So Paul's not saying you check your brain at the door. He's just saying unless you have God's Spirit inside, it is going to be foolishness. It's going to be fogged out on you. It's going to be darkened for you. Chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Verse 12. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because these things are spiritually discerned. See, I cannot see unless the Holy Spirit is illuminating it, unless I have the eyes of the Lord, unless I'm looking through that prism of Jesus' Holy Spirit, of the wisdom that He would have, the discernment that He would have. I can't see it. And even with that, I'm still blurred. I'm still not able to see it like I'm going to see one day. But I don't want to see through my own eyes anymore. I've trusted that for many years, and it didn't work very well. I mean, God has given all of us a brain, and He's given you a brain. If you're listening today, I'm not asking you to check your brain at the door. I'm just saying, always seek to see through the Holy Spirit. Always seek to find His vision for you. We're going to take a break. We'll be back for the second half of the show. We'll talk more about Superman and superpowers.
Still have a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive.
Superman.
Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Superman.
Up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman. Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond.
And we're back for the second half of the show, and we were with 721 Live, and I'm Sam Hunter, and we're having a little fun with that. Superman, superpowers, that's how we started the show. And, you know, as I said at the beginning of the show, I used to would have wanted to fly like Superman could fly, but now I really want to see, and not just Superman's X-ray vision, but see through God's eyes so I can really see, so I can really understand what the truth is, what the reality is. You know, so often we have such a limited perspective on things. It's a temporal perspective. But it's that eternal perspective that really starts to clear things up. And sometimes that eternal perspective may seem like a Pollyannish approach or a crutch kind of approach. But the truth is it's reality. And so when we see things through His eyes, through that eternal perspective, through with a spiritual vision, we really start to see things for as they were. One other thing I want to make sure you understand, Jesus said in John 3 to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. You cannot even see it unless you're born again. You will not. You can't. Not only will you not enter it, you can't even see the kingdom of God until you're born again. I wasn't born again until 13 years ago, and now I can see the kingdom of God. What a wonderful thing. So see, instead of looking to myself, instead of looking to my own brain power, my own eyesight, my own dim eyesight, my prejudiced eyesight, my self-centered eyesight, I look to Jesus. And like little blind Bartimaeus that I always heard about in the Vacation Bible School and the flannel board stuff and all that, like Bartimaeus who said this to Jesus, "Rabbi, I want to see." And in turn, Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you. You will see." And what Jesus says to you and what he says to me is this: whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. John 14:21. I will show myself to him. What a promise. If we follow Jesus, if we seek him as our Lord and as our leader, we'll be able to actually see him, truly see him. Could there be anything more valuable? Could there be anything more rewarding? Could there be anything more life than that? It is a wonderful, wonderful promise. And gosh, Jesus actually had a very unusual encounter with a man that was born blind. We see it in John's Gospel in chapter 9. And he heals this man who was blind from birth. Which is that's a pretty big miracle. And as the blind man is now healed and everyone has seen him all his life sitting by the pool, hoping to get healed, hoping that someone will come along and some way he'll get taken care of. Now all his friends and all the people in the neighborhood, they say, "Well, wait a minute, who is this guy? We've formerly seen him begging. Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But the blind man himself insisted, "I am the man." And so they asked him, "How are your eyes opened?" And he replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes and told me to go wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. Jesus helped him to see. Jesus helped him to see. Then the Pharisees get involved. And these are the ones who are really blind. They think that they can see, but they are the ones that are really blind. They're like Sam. They're like me. They might be like you. They might be like you right now, or they may just be like you used to be, or like we all of us tend to float in and out of that blindness because we seek back to our own vision, seeing things the way we think we got it figured out, instead of always looking for the Holy Spirit to guide us, asking him, just like Bartimaeus did, "I want to see." And the answer is always, that's the kind of prayer that Jesus will answer automatically. You want to see through the Holy Spirit? If you truly seek that, you got it. I'll take care of that. So it's kind of a funny story. The blind man is brought before the Pharisees, and they're the smart ones. They're the ones that can, in their view, see everything correctly, and the rest of us are a bunch of dummies. And they keep asking him, "How did this happen? How did this happen?" And the man just runs through this whole litany of he's a prophet, and now I'm starting to see that he's even more than a prophet. They drag in the parents. The parents are scared to death of the Pharisees, so they say, "Well, no, he's old enough. Ask him. Don't ask us." They didn't want to get thrown out of the synagogue. And so I'm going to pick it up in verse 24. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." And here comes the classic reply that we all know. He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. And I, Sam, was blind, but I see better now after 1995 when God moved into my heart." And so they asked him, well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered, "I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Can you just see that?" And of course, they go ballistic over that, and they hurled insults at him, and they said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." Listen to this guy. The blind man has been healed. He's undaunted. He just says, "Well, now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man. Nobody's ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind." And to this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. You see, they couldn't see. They were so blinded by what they knew was the right way. They were so sure they had it figured out. And boy, was I for 45 years of my life. Oh, excuse me, 38 years of my life. Was I so sure I had figured it all out? Just like the Pharisees. I mean, they were sincere, but they were sincerely wrong. The blind man who had no training, he had no learning on this, but he knew his eyes had been opened. His heart had been opened. So Jesus comes and finds him and seeks him out and has another conversation with him. And then I want to pick this up and I'm going to read it to you. It's still chapter 9. And I'll just pick it up right here at verse 36. So Jesus says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Well, who is he?" the man said. And Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." And the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And then Jesus says this, and I'm going to read this part of it from the Message because it really teases it out, I think, the best and the clearest way. Jesus says, "I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of the day. I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear, so that those who have never seen will see. And those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind." Do you see what Jesus is saying there? He's saying, look, I came into the world, and you know, at other times he said, "I came as a sword to divide." I'm not here to judge you, but I came in because judgment is going to be here. "I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day." You can no longer fake it. You can no longer fool anybody. It really becomes, do you see through spiritual eyes or do you see through your own eyes? Jesus said, "I am making all the distinctions clear so that those who have never seen will see. And those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind." You see, the learned, the people that are stuck on the religious side of it, that are stuck on the intellectual side, they are blind, and well, not always, but so often, they are blind to the true spiritual vision of this, to really seeing it from the heart. It is so important that we recognize what it means to really see through Jesus' eyes, through the Holy Spirit. I love the intellectual side. I love to challenge. I love to dig. I love to learn. I love to know. I love to study. I love to study the Greek. I love to study the Hebrew and see what's going on in the native language. But I'm not going to see anything unless I'm looking through the eyes of the Lord. If I look through my own eyes or the eyes of this culture, I'm lost. I'm the blind leading the blind. But if he enlightens the eyes of my heart, then I can soar like Superman with a power immeasurably more than anything I could have asked or even imagined. So, supervision actually equals superpower. When we have that supervision, that spiritual vision, then we suddenly begin to have the superpower. And we suddenly start to see life for the truth that it really is. We start to see what Jesus meant when he said, "I have the truth, and this truth will set you free." It's free from all the ignorance that we might have had, all the preconceived notions. It's free from the prejudice opinions that I have in my mind, the self-deluded visions that I have in my mind, the self-serving and the self-seeking way that I look at life. It sets me free from that. It sets me free from the what I consider to be a burden of being a Christian, or the idea that following Christ would be a burden and a hard thing and something I don't want. Jesus said, "No, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I'll help you to see what's really out there, what life that is truly life." That, you know, that's what he says when he's talking to the Samaritan woman, and she's all hung up on the technicalities and all. And he said, "Listen, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. And we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet," and here's the important part, "yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. You worship on your own power, you're missing it. Now, I want to close in reading to you from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. I'm going to pick it up at chapter 3. And this is part of Paul's prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Listen to that language. Isn't that beautiful? I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. I want my eyes, the eyes of my heart, to be enlightened and to have that incomparably great power for those of us who believe. Now he picks it up in chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And I would add another amen. Only through his eyes and when my eyes of my heart are enlightened. Remember, Jesus said to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of heaven unless he is born again. You can't even see it. Listen, I want you to think about these things and let them flow through you and appropriate them into your life. Seek that Holy Spirit vision. It's there if you just ask. Just say, I want to see. Each week we publish on our website a recap of the topics. It's called The Putting Green. Go to 721ministries.org. That's 721ministries.org. So long. God's peace to you. Hope to see you next Friday.